Today is about seeing sadness and of gladness. Mark chapter 5, I want to read three passages to you. Ward read the contrasting passage. Let me read a little bit to you from these three passages just to give you the scene, and then we shall seek to explain it. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came to the other side of the sea, and if you remember the story, they meet a man, demon-possessed, whose name was Legion, coming out with ferocity, but the Lord Jesus subdues him, and look at verse 13. He's going to cast these demons out, and they make this request, that they go into the swine. Verse 13, and the Lord Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep into the sea, in number about 2,000, and they were drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they came to see what it was that had come to pass. And they come to Jesus, and behold him that was possessed with demons, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, even him that had the legion, and they were afraid. And they that saw it declared unto them how it befell him that was possessed with demons, and concerning the swine. And they began to beseech him to depart from their borders. And he entered into the boat. Now chapter 10, verse 17. This is the incident about one we know as the rich young ruler. Verse 17. And as he was going forth into the way, there ran one to him, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said unto him, and he speaks to him, and so forth, and tells him what he has to do. And look at verse 20. And he said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But his countenance fell at the saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. And now Luke 19, for the last. Luke 19, look at verse 35. Our Savior has sent disciples to bring him a donkey that he might ride into Jerusalem. And verse 35 says, And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their garments upon the colt, and set Jesus thereon. Verse 37. As he was now drawing nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 41. And when he drew nigh, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And verse 44, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we know how men contrive literature, speeches and behavior to influence the emotions of men. We are thankful, our God, that the portions in the scriptures are in no wise contrived, but they are solemn facts of things that occurred in the lives of men. And thou dost know that we have different emotions as we read these things. We pray, our Father, that some of these things that cause us sadness and rejoicing shall have a beneficial effect upon us. If we see what causes sadness, let us turn from such things. And if we see scenes that cause gladness, let us pursue such scenes. Let us, Father, benefit by all things that are written in the Word of God. We are thankful for each one who is here today. Thou knowest the troubles of their hearts. We pray, our God, that since thy Son is sufficient for all things, that the troubles of their hearts shall be met, and they shall go away rejoicing, as that eunuch did when he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Prepare the heart for the Spirit to work and be successful in bringing forth fruit, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Ecclesiastes says this: better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. Why is that? Who could say better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof? For this reason: at the beginning, you do not know what the ending will be. At the end, you see the developments from the beginning. And if a man say, how promising, it's not how promising, but it is how did things turn out in the end. And what I decided to do was again bring one event in the life of our Lord that we considered last week, that seemingly was a scene of gladness, but in reality, it turned out to be a scene of sadness. One of the three times in which our Savior is recorded as weeping in the Word of God. But it started out as a scene of gladness, but it ended as a scene of sadness. And that is why Ecclesiastes says, better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. It's how things turn out in the end. That is important. So what I have done is to read you three passages. I want to bring others to your attention. But in all the passages that I read to you, they were scenes of gladness that in the end turned out to be scenes of sadness. Here, in Mark chapter 5, we have this man who is demon-possessed, and the power of Satan is broken, and the power of heaven is manifested, and this man's demons are exorcised, and he who had been uncontrollable in the past, when the owners of the swine come back from the city, this demoniac is seen seated, clothed, and in his right mind. That is a scene of gladness. But that's not the end. When the owners of the swine that were drowned in the ocean come upon the scene and hear what happened, they go to the Lord Jesus and say, would you please get out of our borders, depart. And the sad thing is this, that Jesus did depart. Gladness. Sadness. In Mark chapter 10, if you read the first part of it, there is not a more beautiful scene of gladness in the entire Word of God. Because it starts out this way. It starts out with a young man filled with promise and reverence. And he comes and he kneels in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. and says, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus mentions the commandments to him, and he says, "Lord, all of these things have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loves him. There's not a more beautiful scene in the entire Word of God. A scene of gladness. And the question that our Savior was asked, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And the Savior told him. And when he told him, it says that the rich young ruler's countenance fell, and he turned his back on the Savior and went away sorrowing. And this greatest scene of gladness turns out to be a scene of sadness. In the third that we read, for once, the nation of Israel as a whole, representatively, is seen proclaiming praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David." But when the Savior acknowledges those praises, he gets to the city and he looks at it and he weeps over it. Why? Such a scene of gladness, a triumphal entry. That's the way it's been described. But it's not a triumphal entry. It's a farcical entry. Because the Lord Jesus is able to see into the heart of man. And when one speaks certain words to him, he knows whether those words are painted words, or he knows whether they are superficial words. And our Savior, who has been acclaimed as the King of Israel, is weeping over the city. Why would he not rejoice over the city? Because the passage in Zechariah says, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee." It says, he is lowly, he is just, he is bringing salvation. Why would our Savior not rejoice because the multitudes are accepting him? Because he knows the superficial character of the cries that are issuing from their lips. And though we do not know it, and his disciples would not understand it, because the Lord Jesus knew the superficiality of all that was taking place, when he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." But they are accepting the Savior. They are embracing him. He's come unto his own, and his own are receiving him. The Savior said, "No, you're not." And so, this scene of great gladness, if it were a scene of great gladness, would our Savior's eyes be filled with tears, and would he be weeping over Jerusalem? You say, "No." Then there must be something of sadness about it. And all of these scenes of apparent gladness turn out to be scenes of sadness for this reason. It is not the beginning of the thing, but the end of a thing that is better. Why? Because in time, I want to show you things at the beginning that look ever so doomed and dark and cloudy. But in the end, they turn out to be filled with light and joy and gladness. So it's not the beginning, but it's the end of a thing. And in these cases, in the instances that I've given you, there are scenes of gladness that in the end turn out to be scenes of sadness. Why? For this reason. The Bible tells us what is true gladness and what is sadness. And I assure you that whenever the Savior comes into your life, however much sorrow accompanies his entering into your life, that is a scene of gladness. But men do not know that. And because of immediate sorrow and temptation and loss of friends, when the Savior comes into your presence, as in the case of those who owned the swine, they lost their investment, there is at first sadness and disappointment and loss. And if you react in your heart that those things that are happening outwardly without thinking the matter through, what will happen is that the words that will issue from your lips are these: Jesus, get out of my life. All of my investment is gone. And now I have no living. I'm reduced to poverty. What makes it so sad is not only the request that was made by these owners of the swine, but our Savior's acknowledgement of that request and his departure. This is what God says about the presence of the Lord Jesus. Listen to it. From the prophecy of Isaiah, it's quoted in Matthew. He speaks about Zebulun and Naphtali. It says, beyond the Jordan, toward the sea. It says, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light sprang up. Why is this prophecy fulfilled? And why is it quoted by Matthew? Because it said, the Lord Jesus left Nazareth and moved to Capernaum. And this was in the vicinity of Zebulun and Naphtali. And the fact that our Savior would take up his residence near Zebulun and Naphtali, the Bible, with God's interpretation, says that the people that sat in darkness in Zebulun and Naphtali saw a great light. Why? God's Son is there, the light of heaven. And it said, they that sat in the region in shadow of death, to them light sprang up. Why? Because the light of the world has come to live in their vicinity. And God said that this is a thing of gladness and of rejoicing. Now, it has been so in the lives of many, like unto Bartimaeus, when he heard that the Lord Jesus was coming. The coming of Jesus brought light, literal light, to his person. But when light came to those that lived in the territory where Legion, that demoniac, was dwelling, when Jesus came there and they saw what it cost, they asked our Savior to depart out of their coast. Now let me ask you, when we who live in darkness, we who dwell in the region of darkness and of death, when light comes, why in our insanity would we ask that light to go away? But that is what happened in Mark chapter 5. We are in darkness. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that dwell in the region in shadow of death, light sprang up. And when God in his goodness calls that in the vicinity where Legion dwelt, when that happened, they said, the light that sprang up, we want it to leave and go away. And for that reason, this area that was in darkness, that was flooded with light when God's Son came, at their request, he departed. And then they that sat in darkness and in the region in shadow of death, they're in that darkness and in that shadow of death again at their own request. And so, a scene of gladness, why, it turns out to be a scene of sadness. Because it's not the beginning of a thing, but the end of a thing. Better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. Why? Now, you see, it is not how promising things were at the first, but it is how things turned out in the end. And in all of these instances, things are filled with light and joy and gladness and power over Satan. But in the end, darkness comes over the scene again. And the scene was just as it was before. And I assure you that your life now is one of darkness. And if the Lord Jesus comes near you for a while, light is shining. Light has sprung up. And as long as you allow the Lord Jesus to remain there, the light will shine. But if you tell him to depart, The sad thing is that Jesus will depart. And when he departs, your sphere of darkness becomes dark again, because there is only one light that can illumine the darkness of men's souls, and that is the light of heaven. And Jesus, in his goodness, came to Capernaum, and Zebulun and Naphtali were lightened. And Jesus, in his goodness, left some cities and came to where Legion was, and light sprang up, and the light that was shining. This is the condemnation, that light is come, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And the light that God sent, they said, light, go away. And the Lord Jesus went away, and he left them to their doom and their darkness. You say, well, what about the rich young ruler? The rule is without variation. In these instances, three things take place. One is this. When the Lord Jesus comes and behaves in a certain way, and you do not like the costliness of his behavior as those that own the swine, you do not like the way Jesus behaves, and so you say, depart. And Jesus, depart. Now, in the case of the rich young ruler, it is not his behavior, but the rich young ruler came and asked this, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus said, this is what you have to do. This is the demand that I make, that you may inherit eternal life. Go, sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. This is the demand of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know how to get to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, this is the way to get to heaven. Therefore, the deportment of Christ was rejected by the owners of the swine. The Lord Jesus leaves. In this instance, the demand of the Lord Jesus Christ as to what must be done to inherit eternal life is rejected. And in this case, it is not Jesus who leaves Legion's domain, but it is the rich young ruler who walks away from the light of the world. And I think of this. There has never been a scene greater of gladness than this at the beginning. But at the end, there has never been a greater scene of sadness. For this reason, the Savior speaks of some. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. And men search a lifetime to find out the certain way to get to heaven. And now God's light from heaven is talking to you face to face, and the Savior says, if you do this, you will have treasure in heaven. You can be my follower. The man knows from the lips of the Son of God the sure way to heaven. And he turns his back upon the Savior's demands, and therefore he walks into the darkness. When he ran and knelt at the feet of Jesus, he entered into the sphere of light. The light did not come to him, but he came to the light. But when the light shined and exposed what actually was in his soul, he did not like that darkness. He refused the demands of Jesus, and therefore he departed from Jesus. So at times, light comes and you say, depart, and the light departs. At times, you come to the light, and you do not like the light shining in your heart, and you depart and leave the light shining where it was before. But it ends the same way. You are again in darkness. Christ comes, light shines. Christ leaves, darkness overtakes. You come, you are in the light. You leave, you enter again into darkness. Now, in like manner, and this is the sad thing, that you would think that in the case of those that are hailing our Savior as he enters into Jerusalem, you say, certainly, this is a scene of gladness, and it can have no other ending. Notice that in the case of the rich young ruler, the ending was sudden. All is gladness, And the Savior says, follow me. And immediately, he turns his back on the Savior and leaves. You see the ending, how quickly it came. In the case of Legion, it took a little longer. Why? The light had come, Legion was exorcised, and the light is shining, but the people have to come from the city, inquire of what has occurred, and when they discover it, then they tell Jesus, depart. And therefore, it took a little longer for this ending to come. And in the case of our Savior being hailed as blessed as he that cometh in the name of the Lord, it took much longer, much longer. It took some 40 years. But the ending was this. God is described in the parable that Christ spoke as destroying the city of those murderers. And that is what God did. And so the ending of those who are superficially crying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The ending is not immediate. It takes years. But eventually, when it did occur, it was devastating. But it actually happened in the portion that was read to you by our brother when, notice, the multitude that on Palm Sunday, as we call it, not all of them, but some of them, it says that this multitude, and some of them would be there, when a request is made, shall we release unto you the king of the Jews or Barabbas? Now Barabbas is a robber and a murderer. And it says that the chief priests persuaded the multitudes, say Barabbas, and they chose Barabbas. But what shall I do with the king of the Jews? Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with him! We will not have this man arrayed over us. Well, shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Now, let me ask you. The beginning, when they are saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, that scene of gladness, is that the end of it? You say no, because in less than 5 days, the one that they've been proclaiming as king, they are demanding his crucifixion. And so, better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. Why? Because it looks so promising. Our Savior, riding in his meekness, in his justice, and with salvation to get to them if they would have it at that time. Instead of that, 5 days later, some of the multitude persuaded by the chief priests, it says, they were persuaded to change their cries and acknowledgement of Jesus as king, and they, through their leaders, say, we have no king but Herod. That is why Jesus wept over the city, because he knows these superficial cries that people bestow upon him, and he knows that there is an emptiness to them. And he has already described them in that parable about the sower that went forth to sow. He said, when the sower went forth to sow, some fell upon rocky ground. And it said, immediately, the seed sprang up. But then in interpreting that parable, he said, those seed that immediately sprang up, but because they had no root with it, it said, these are they who for a while believe, but in time of temptation, fall away. Notice, they heard, immediately they believe, but it's a superficial belief. It is not a divinely wrought belief, and therefore it cannot last. And it says they wither away. And here are people crying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, even the King, the Son of David. And these are they who rejoice immediately, but they are rocky ground hearers. And in less than a week, they can be persuaded to demand the crucifixion of the one that they were calling king. And so that is why I'm concerned about all people like you who come to church. You sang the songs, ascribing praise to the Lord Jesus. The Savior alone knows whether that praise is true or superficial, whether they are empty words. It is like Judas when at that Last Supper, the Savior says, one of you shall betray me. And Judas said, Master, Is it I calling him master in his hypocrisy, saying, am I going to betray you, when he had already made arrangements to sell him the 30 pieces of silver? And in like manner, some of us who ascribe kingship to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we can be persuaded by the high priest and the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees to change our ascription of praise to Jesus, to exalt him, to crown him Lord of all, if they can change our confession to one of crucify him, then we are like unto those that praise our Savior as he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now, what kind of Christian are you? Are you one who says, yes, I'm a Christian, well, I've come and I've knelt at the feet of Jesus? Well, when he told you what you had to do to become a Christian, what response did you make? Oh, well, I didn't do what he told me. I didn't follow out his commands exactly, but I came and knelt at the feet of Jesus. I came into the light of heaven, and you departed into the darkness of hell, and you will stay there, because it is not that you come and hear what Christ says. It's not him that hears Christ's word, but it is he who does Christ's word. So you come to the light? Well, when the light shined and told you what to do, what was your response to that light? The light has come, as in the case of Legion, and has cleared out and has expelled the power of Satan. Having seen that, the demands that it makes upon you as a community, what has the community done? And the sad thing is that some can be convinced to request that Jesus depart, and then darkness floods over them again. I cannot help but tell you this. There are those of a certain denomination that preach the gospel at times as plainly as we. And I know this church, the man that preached the church, and his constant saying to people that talked to him was this, you must be born again. And now the church that was named after him, that was built upon the truth of the gospel of the grace of God, just recently, this church was voted out of the denomination that it followed, because they had said, we are going to perform a marriage of homosexuals in our sanctuary, and we are going to accept them as part of our congregation. And so this was a place that at one time preached, you must be born again. And now that which is an abomination in the sight of God, they have changed. And so it is not that you go to where the gospel is preached, that was stood for in the past, but it's what you personally stand for. And if some say, I will not have such things taught in any church that I attend, and you leave, that is one thing. But instead, the whole church was persuaded to abandon all the sacred teachings of the Word of God. And they who in the past had said, Jesus is King, are now saying, we reject any authority that Jesus Christ might have had upon us. And alas, that is what Israel allowed their authorities to do. The ones who said, his blood be on us and on our children, these were those who were in authority. And Paul can say this. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. And in like manner, when Christ, the light of the world, comes, then you must embrace that light, because only by embracing that light does the scene that started out as one of gladness end as one of gladness. And so all of these scenes that started out, scenes of gladness, everyone turns into a scene of sadness. But I can think of the opposite. Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile, how do you know me? Before Philip called thee, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw thee. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. It started out a man in doubt, saying to Jesus, how do you know me? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Think of this, how sadly it started. But at the end, this man who said, can any good thing come out? He said, what came out of Nazareth was the Son of God, the King of Israel. I think of the man who was born blind, and because of his stand for the Lord Jesus, the man is rejected by his parents and excommunicated from the congregation of Israel. You say that's sadness. It says that when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, Jesus found him. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, Lord, who is he that I may believe? And the Savior said, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. A man rejected by his parents and by his nation, is that not a scene of sadness? It is a scene of gladness, because that was the beginning of it, when he was rejected by men and parents. But the end of it was that the Lord Jesus embraced him and illumined not only his physical eyes, but the eyes of his soul, and made him a citizen of heaven. And therefore, the ending of a thing is better than the beginning, because the beginning is not that which is conclusive. We have to see the end of a matter. Another thing is this. This is what the psalmist says. He says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Mourning, dancing, sackcloth, gladness. And it all depends upon the response of those who come and are bathed in the light of the Son of God from heaven. Do what he says. Invite him to stay, and the blessing will be yours. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for what thou dost teach us in thy word, that thy Son would be made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Our Father, that he would come and shine upon darkened men in this world, that you forgive all of those of which race we are a part. Our God, forgive those that have rejected the light, that have walked away from the light. And we thank you, Father, from the heart of all who have received the light, the illumination that has come into our souls. We thank you that the light has come, that thou hast turned our mourning into dancing, and thou hast removed our sackcloth, and thou hast girded us with gladness. May this be the portion of all who are here, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.